Jeez. It's very nice to have you here.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be here.
You grew up in New Zealand?
I did, yes.
Okay, you were published in the UK, in the US and France, I believe? And
I've had a couple of things published in France. I've had more things published in Germany, I think.
Okay.
That's translations of work that's been published in English originally. Mm-hmm. And there was also a Spanish edition of Fred the Clown.
Whoa,
at
that's
one
good.
Point. Mm-hmm. There may be other things. I've seen things, when I've been to Germany, I've seen anthologies that I've been in that have been translated, but I don't know. I don't get copies of those, so I don't know what's...
You've been published in once in Greek also, the Popeye.
Oh, right, okay.
Are comics different around the globe? Do we perceive comics as different cultures differently?
I think that there are some obvious examples. The manga scene is obviously its own beast. Mm-hmm. And French comics are very different to American mm-hmm. comics. I don't know the other scenes well enough to spot the nuances. I suspect that a lot of the European sensibilities are quite similar. Mm-hmm. But I haven't got deeply enough into it to know exactly what the differences are. Clearly every country has its own comics culture. New Zealand certainly has its own comics culture. Mm-hmm. It's very different from, even though it's English speaking, it's very different from the rest of the world. Because there's no money in it. So everybody who does comics does it for the love of the work.
Okay.
There's no financial incentive, so nobody's compromising, nobody's making anything that they think will be commercial, because there's no point. There's no money anyway. So it's got its own, certainly its own voice.
Mm-hmm. But these differences, do you think that they become bigger or smaller by the during time? Do the different comic cultures seem to, or do they keep their separate roots, or do they come together in the future?
Well, I think the lines between them are blurring a little bit
now.
The manga influence in American comics is obviously very big mm-hmm. now, to the point where now if somebody's drawing in a style that's been influenced by manga, mm-hmm. You don't notice it, whereas it stood out like a sore thumb 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But now it's so much part of the landscape that it's just normal American comic art now. And I suspect that goes for a lot of, I know it goes for a lot of French mm-hmm. up-and-coming artists. I've seen loads of French books influenced by manga.
Okay.
Whether the influence goes the other way, I don't know. I don't know if there's any Japanese comics that are influenced by Western comics.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned the US scene, let's say, where the money seems to be at the moment. And you've worked for Marvel and DC, you've done Batman and Avengers and other stuff in your way, but I understand that it's a personal choice of yours to stop working on these characters, stop working for these...
Partly, mm-hmm. yes. I decided during the time that... Jack Kirby was having films made of his works mm-hmm. And not his family weren't getting compensated for it. I thought that was unfair mm-hmm. and I felt bad about mm-hmm. creating profits for this company mm-hmm. if none of it was going to the Kirbys. So they offered me something after... I'd written John Carter, mm-hmm. A Princess of Mars for them and I was offered something after I'd finished that. And I thought, I'll just say I'm busy. Mm-hmm. I don't have to make a big noise about this. I just feel better not working for them. And I happened to mention this on a podcast. Mm-hmm. And about a week later, after the podcast had been released, mm-hmm. the website Bleeding Cool did a headline saying Roger Langridge swears never to work for Marvel or DC ever again, which kind of put me in a difficult position.
Yeah.
I had to think quite hard about what to do. I didn't want to... Having had this position put upon me, mm-hmm. I felt that the best thing for me to do would be to live up to it.
Okay.
not only best for the people affected, like the Kirbys mm-hmm. and Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons over Watchmen, mm-hmm. for example, that was bothering me as well. Mm-hmm. But also for me, for my own career, not financially. I mean, financially, mm-hmm. it was a terrible decision.
Okay.
But in terms of doing work that I can be proud of, I think it was the right thing for me. It forced me to focus more on my own work and less on worrying about where my next corporate gig was coming from.
Okay.
And so I think long term it's going to mean I will do better work.
Okay. So beyond those you have brought to life successfully some extremely well-known characters. Let's say you have reimagined or like Popeye and the Muppets, even Betty Boop.
Yes.
Okay. So how difficult it is to keep the personalities of these characters that are so well defined, but bring your own self and your own personality in them?
I think your own sensibilities creep into anything you do regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So any character I'm working on that I didn't create, I'm trying to find a way in that's, you know, I'm trying to find the intersection between
mm-hmm.
the world of those characters and my own interests and sensibilities.
Okay.
And work within that okay. as far as I can. And that's easier with some things than others. The Muppets was very easy
mm-hmm.
Because I love that kind of humour. The vaudeville environment mm-hmm. is something that I enjoy playing with in my own work. The humour, the sort of fast pace and the sketches
okay.
that made it up is very much the kind of comics I was doing anyway, so it wasn't difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And Popeye, too, that wasn't difficult because E.C. Segal was such a huge influence on my own work.
Mm-hmm.
For something like Thor, when I was doing Thor the Mighty Avenger, mm-hmm. I really had to work at that.
Okay.
I had to find a way in. I loved Kirby's artwork, but the stories I always thought were really, really dull. So I had to... I just wasn't interested in Asgard or any of that okay. cosmic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find a way in, and the way I found in was a love story. That seemed to me to be a story I could tell. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Among your creations, let's say, probably your best-known character is Fred the Clown?
Probably, yes.
You have plans to return to him after the last book, the Iron Duchess, let's say?
Yes. I've self-published an issue of a comic called Zoot, which is reviving a title that I did in the 1990s for Fantagraphics. This one is self-published, and it's got a variety of stories in it, including a Fred the Clown story. It's the mm-hmm. first chapter of a longer story,
mm-hmm.
so I'm planning to carry on with that story. It's called Arizona Daisy. It's a Fred the Clown western,
mm-hmm.
and yes, it's written more or less. I've just got to draw the thing now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
okay, so you have chosen to self-publish Zoot, and you did the same as a first step for the Iron Duchess. How does self-publishing work out? What are the pros and cons of self-publishing in this day and age?
Well, I tend not to make a profit when I self-publish things. It's usually... The point of doing it is to get the work seen by people so that I can eventually find a publisher for it
mm-hmm.
who will have a broader reach than I can.
Mm-hmm.
With Zoot, it's also the fact that it's that format.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there is a publisher who would publish it now anyway. Mm-hmm. That's just not what publishers are doing anymore. They want books
mm-hmm.
more than... individual issues of comics.
But publishers still have a wider audience than self-publishing, let's say?
Well, if I'm self-publishing, I don't have access to all the distributors that publishers have access to.
Okay.
And when I did the original Fred the Clown comics,
mm-hmm.
I got them distributed through Diamond because that was something that a self-publisher could reasonably still do when mm-hmm. you were only selling a couple of thousand copies. But I don't think that's the case anymore.
Mm.
Getting a couple of thousand copies pre-ordered in the current environment doesn't really happen if you're a self-publisher,
okay.
unless you're a huge name. I think Image, for example, now do a lot of what they filled the niche that self-publishers filled
mm-hmm.
15 years ago. It's essentially a self-publishing brand, I mm-hmm. suppose. It's just that they have the infrastructure and the relationships with distributors mm-hmm. that make it easier for the creators.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be nice to get into that, but I don't think that's going to happen with the kind of oddball stuff I do.
Okay. So, although you have an upcoming project, you have mentioned that you have recently completed, can you tell, is there something that you can share about this?
Yes, it's called Crimini.
Okay.
It's written by a Canadian writer, Ryan Ferrier.
Mm-hmm.
He's done things like Kennel Block Blues for IDW.
Okay.
I think that's the work he's proudest of, so I'll mention that one. Yeah, we stumbled across one another on Twitter. He posted a tweet saying, "Does anybody know anybody who can draw in a Max Fleischer style? I've got an idea for a story." And I said, "Hello!" And we started corresponding and working out the details. We put together a 6-page pitch,
mm-hmm.
Well, 6 pages of story, I should say, and some pitch documents.
Mm-hmm.
Sent it round to a few people, and mm-hmm. nobody showed the slightest bit of interest. And Ryan eventually, in desperation, put one of my sample pages on Twitter,
okay.
and a Dark Horse editor saw it and approached Ryan, and then we started a dialogue that got a publishing deal out.
You have been published by Dark Horse in anthologies only, I believe.
In the past, yes, I've done things for Dark Horse Presents, and okay. there was a Hellboy anthology, Hellboy Weird okay. Tales, I did something mm-hmm. for that, and The Goon Noir, I did something for that.
Okay, sure.
And yes. Star Wars, what was it called? Star Wars Tales?
Yeah, and Mr.
I did Drake. Something for that as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. There was Tony Millionaire there, and there were a lot of people in there that issue. I'm not
correct. I can't remember. It was the. I think it was the final issue.
Okay.
I think I killed it.
Okay, so the style of the Fleischer was the reason that you got into this.
Yes, I mean, I've done that style with some of my Fred the Clown comics, and obviously I've worked on Popeye and Betty Boop in the past as well, so
mm-hmm.
It didn't seem like a difficult, you know, it didn't seem it would be difficult to adapt to mm-hmm. that kind of world.
Okay. So, any plans beyond that? You have, let's say, something that you would like, style-wise or story-wise, to...
Well, while I've been in Athens, I've been making notes in my notebook about what I want to do next, trying to sort of work out some ideas. I do want to carry on with Arizona Daisy, the Fred mm-hmm. the Clown story. So I'm going to probably serialize that on the internet,
mm-hmm.
One page a week.
Okay.
So that I remain visible while I'm working on whatever else I'm doing. I find that if I don't have something in front of people's eyes,
okay.
People think I've died or something. So I want to make sure I remain visible.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I'm going to try and put some pitches together and send them around and see what I can get
okay.
off the ground. I'd quite like to do an adaptation of a P.G. Woodhouse novel,
mm-hmm.
or actually not even a novel, a short story.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Jeeves and Worcester stories.
Okay.
So I'm going to put together a few pages of that and see mm-hmm. if anybody's interested in that. I've also got an idea for a Fez series.
Mm-hmm.
The Fez is my sort of horrible bastard invisible superhero. The idea for the series is more from a normal person's point of view,
okay.
Somebody who comes into his world
mm-hmm.
and sees him through her eyes.
Okay.
So I'd quite like to see if anybody's interested in that as well.
Okay.
Just try and do something fun.
Mm-hmm. You don't keep. You don't consider your the work that you publish online something different from the work that you publish officially, let's say, that you print. Are there differences? Because are the online ones sometimes more personal or the...
It depends what it is. I did a daily strip for a few months at the beginning of 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped after about 5 months. But that was, yeah, I wasn't considering publication for that because it was really more of a sketchbook. It was more of a way of just throwing ideas up and seeing what happened.
Okay.
Other work that I put online, like The Iron Duchess, was mm-hmm. originally serialized online. Mm-hmm. That was intended for publication from the beginning.
Okay.
So it depends on what it is. But it's just sometimes when you put work online, it's the equivalent of a mini comic, and sometimes it's the equivalent of graphic novel. It depends what the work is.
Mm-hmm. These are my questions, more or less. Is there something else that you would like to mention to the people in Athens?
You, Athens, for making me welcome and giving me such a good time at the Comic Dom Con. It's been good fun, and I've enjoyed meeting people.
Okay.